We'll be studying from Genesis 26, so if you want to turn over there, we'll be picking up with that in a second. It's good to be able to speak before you today. It's good to have visitors who are really not visitors or family. It's good to have visitors, new visitors that we met. We're all family in the Lord, no matter where we're at, and it's great to be able to worship God today. Some of you know I'm teaching a teenage class on Sunday mornings, and it's been a really good class for me. I hope the kids have had a good study as well. We're simply going through the book of Genesis and reading and learning from each other the things that we observe from the scriptures. And this lesson is a direct result from that class. It's something, Well, I know it's something I've overlooked, but it's maybe something that maybe you've overlooked as well, and we can learn from. Genesis chapter 26, before we get going, it's good to see Mike out. He's not been feeling well. Mike O'Neill, we're glad that he's here. But I want you to keep Brother Kevin Clark in your prayers. He's getting checked out at a hospital, may have bronchitis, may have pneumonia. Let's keep Brother Kevin in our prayers. It's always tough getting sick, but when you're on the road and getting sick, that's not good either. So let's keep Kevin in our prayers. We love him dearly, and hopefully things will work out where he get the medicine, get the care, and God will watch over him. Anyway, I'm going to read verses 12 through 33. And I just want us to read together this text that maybe it's kind of hidden in Genesis, but I don't want it to be hidden from me anymore. It's a really good text, and it's actually got some really good lessons. So I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. Verse 12 of Genesis 26. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Essek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me, and you have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So he said, "Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. This is an interesting account of the time of Isaac. We see that Isaac's being blessed, and we see the Philistines envied. Now the Philistines are usually at odds with God's people. That's the way it's been throughout many places in the Bible. We see the Philistines are at odds. And they had worked very hard after Abraham and his servants had dug all these wells in this arid land. They had worked very hard to fill in all those wells with dirt. See how evil that is? It's just evil. And in our class, the kids made a great observation. They're spending so much time filling the wells here, and they need water. Why don't they go out and dig their own wells? Why aren't they focused on their things? Why aren't they focused on that? Why are they worrying about this? They're jealous that Isaac's being blessed. They're envying him. Why don't they do what he's been doing? We know how powerful jealousy and envy and covetousness is. It's noted throughout the Old Testament, the problems with it. It's in the Ten Commandments. Those things are, those feelings, those emotions are all bad. They're all bad. And these guys spend so much energy doing this. You know, when you watch sometimes I listen to these old radio programs. There's an app for it if you're ever interested. I really enjoy listening to radio programs from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And they give such detail. You can picture it all in your head. It's really cool. And I listen to it going to work and coming home. And in some of these, you'll hear if it's like a crime story, they give you the dialogue of the criminals who are planning out this robbery, this bank robbery. Sometimes they'll start 6 months before it, you know. Now has somebody planted there, and they're drawing all the diagrams. They're going to all this work to rob a bank. Wouldn't it be easier just to get a job? You know, when you think about it. Wouldn't it be easier? Just go be productive. Do that. Or somebody's got this scheme to, you know, this elaborate scheme. They're in a job, but they want to get their coworker's job. And they start undermining that person. And they do this devious thing to make that person look bad so they can get the job. Why not just work hard and get promoted? Why not just focus on doing that? And that's kind of the idea that the kids had with, why are these Philistines wasting their time filling in these wells? And, there's water's precious. In an arid land, water's precious. My dad lives out in the desert, you know, and when he had a house out from town, his well was like 350 feet deep. And I said, "Dad, what do you do if your well goes dry?" He goes, you dig a deeper well. And he had in the backyard of his house, it was pretty ingenious. The guy before him did this. He had a rail car built and buried in the backyard. And that's what he filled with the groundwater. You know, he'd pump the water. You got to go to a lot of effort in the desert to live because there's no water. So filling in wells is not a good thing. If you got livestock, they need to have water. They flourish with water. Without it, you know, they don't do very well. And this is the back in the time when they didn't have drill rigs to dig a well. You got to do it by hand. So it's a lot of effort. The Philistines have been torturing the descendants of Abraham by doing this. And then the Philistines came to a realization. They came to a realization. They saw that God was blessing Isaac. They saw that. And they wanted to make a covenant and be at peace with his people. Let's read a little bit about the teachings on peace. Matthew chapter 5, what we call the Beatitudes, verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, starting in verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You see that verse? If it is possible, as much as depends on you. There's some people, I don't know if you've come across it in life, but there's some people that don't want to live at peace with you. It's just going to happen. So there's a caveat there for us. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 in verse 14. It's good to see Shirley out too. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace. Okay, so not only you're seeking, you're pursuing it. There's an action. You're seeking and pursuing peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. You see how serious that is? We find ourselves, we're not seeking peace. Look, notice the danger. Without which no one will see the Lord. We need to be peacemakers and we need to be seeking peace. Psalms 34. Psalms 34. Starting in verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Notice, the psalmist says, seek peace, not only seeking it, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So here we have this idea of being a peacemaker. And let's go back to Genesis 26 and just notice a few things. In verse 16, Abimelech says to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. You notice Isaac's response? Isaac says, we're going to go to battle with you because the Lord is with me. Is that what he says? He didn't say that. What does he do? Then Isaac departed, verse 17, from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. He moved. They dig a well. The local residents complain. He moves again. They dig a well. Residents complain. He moves again. Why is he doing this? Why is Isaac moving? Why is he doing this? He's seeking to be peaceful. He's seeking to be at peace with these people. And then finally, verse 22, they finally find a place where the people don't quarrel over it as well, you know. And the Lord's made room for us. It's just a pretty great example of pursuing peace, I think. I overlooked it for years. I didn't see this. I guess I read through it and I didn't pick up on this. He chose not to fight. He knew God was with him. He pursued peace with his enemies. And with God's help, he was able to obtain peace. You see that when you go down, and it's interesting, verse 26, Abimelech brings a couple guys with him. I'm not going to say their names again because I probably pronounced them wrong the first time. In verse 27, Isaac said to them, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? You see? Why are you coming to me? You sent me, you hate me. And yet, Isaac, knowing how they felt about him, he's trying to be peaceful. It's a tremendous example, in my opinion. Today, we have a lot of folks that want to get even with people. We have a lot of folks seeking revenge on their own against people, whether it's politically or financially or in some other way. Isaac shows us another way. Isaac shows us a way to, even when people hate you, to seek to be living a peaceable life. And I think it's a great example. He moves many times. He chose... I had this written down. I guess this is a kind of a thought that we got out of our class too. Don't waste your time wrecking your enemies' wells or seeking revenge. He didn't return. Okay, the Philistines wrecked the wells here, so we're going to go wreck their wells. He didn't do that. No, they just went digging wells until they found a place where they could be at peace. He focused on what the Lord wanted him to do, and God blessed him. You know, when we do that, when we follow this example, when we make peace with our neighbor or with our coworkers or with our friends or with people we don't know, when we seek to make peace or we seek to make peace with our enemies, it's always a positive. And sometimes it even leads them to the Lord. You kind of get that hint from Romans chapter 12 that we read before. Let's read a few more passages from the New Testament on peace. Matthew 5, verse 11, back in the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Drop down to verse 43 of the same chapter. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. When you read these verses, it's kind of interesting. This is what Isaac was doing. That's what Isaac was doing. He's trying to seek peace, just like Jesus is encouraging us to seek peace with our enemies. He's seeking peace with people who hated him. And it's interesting. You know, sometimes I've been working in the workforce for a long time. And I've told Beth a few times, I've had people, and actually there's been a few people that I've come, a few Christians like this I've come across, where they come across as being my enemy, you know. And I try to be their friend. I try to make that enemy my friend. And sometimes it's been very successful, sometimes it doesn't work. But that's up to them. And when we have these ideas, man, if you look at the news, you read the papers, there's a lot of people trying to get even with everybody. This is lost. This is lost. This idea of seeking peace and pursuing it is lost. Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And why do we live this way? To me, the answer is in verse 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why do we pray for people in authority? Because we want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why do we pray for our neighbor? Why do we pray for our enemies? Why do we do good to those who are evil? We want them to come to the Lord. And it's very similar to Brian's point in his lesson. You know, we need to have the attitude of saving our friends and bringing them to the Lord this way. That it all comes from this idea, verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We Christians should walk and talk and think in a way that pleases God and shows others the way to flourish. We see that in Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. Sometimes our example, as I mentioned before, leads others to the Lord. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having been believed in God with all his household. This is an interesting account, thinking about what we're talking about here. Paul and Silas are in prison. And they're in prison, but you don't see them seeking revenge against those who put them in prison. You don't see them seeking revenge against the guard of the prison. And they're in prison unlawfully. You see that later on. You see that later on in this chapter. They're not in prison for the right reasons. But yet, they're not seeking revenge against those who put them in there. What are they doing? They're praying and singing psalms to God. See? And because of that, the jailer and his household are baptized and forgiven of their sins. What a great example. See? Paul and Silas, they could have been, you know, really grousing about this situation. They could have been complaining. They could have been seeking ways to get back at the people who did this. No, they weren't wasting their time with that. They were focused on pleasing God. Another great example for us. Paul and Silas pursued peace. Isaac pursued peace. We Christians, as much as within our power, we need to pursue peace. And then we get back to what the real reason is that we Christians are blessed. You know, this time of year, you know, lots of families get together and share special times together. Sometimes they share special gifts together. And those are all blessings. You know, many of us have jobs, and we've been blessed with jobs and places to live and plenty to eat, plenty to wear. But the real reason that we're blessed is because we've been forgiven of our sins. God has provided a Savior for us. And God is there caring for us. And as my class, teenage class this morning, we studied in Genesis. And we talked about the book of Genesis. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. Many, many years after. But we have a God, Holy Spirit, who gave Moses all the record to write down for us. The Holy Spirit has blessed us. We know what we need to do to please God. We know what we need to do to be obedient to Him. Those are the important things. The physical things, like Brian said, they come and go. The spiritual things are eternal. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Maybe you want to have a productive life. Maybe you want to live a life in quiet, in peacefulness, being productive for the Lord and for your neighbor and for your friends and for your brethren. You need to come to the Lord. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized to wash them away. And then you can start walking that life. Walking that peaceable life for the Lord, being productive for Him. Going back to the book of Genesis, Genesis 26. Just want to read one more verse again. Verse 31. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away. And remember, these are Philistines. Abimelech is the ruler of the Philistines at this time. And actually, Abimelech is kind of a generic term for a lot of the leaders of the Philistines. Okay, they rose early in the morning, swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace.